from Matthew 4, starting at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum and was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Nebulon and land of Naphtali, on the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him.
Thanks, Kira. Kia ora, atamare. Namahinui kia koutou katoa. My name's Gareth, and just a little bit about me in case you haven't met me. I'm married to Kira. We've just moved back to Wellington after 9 years of ministry up in Auckland, in Northland, and down in Otago. I've just recently joined the pastoral team here at Heart City Baptist, and Kira is working over at Hiratonga College. You might have noticed that that Kira is pregnant and that we're expecting a child in May. This has been a bit of a rocky road for us, so we're really excited about this news. Talking about future things, we're also about to become Nine Eye homies. We've just gone unconditional on a house in Nine Eye, so Nine Eye represent. So, hey, in case you're visiting here this morning, just again, I'd like to extend a warm welcome. If you're new to things, it can be really hard, and it takes a brave step to step through the doors of something new. So again, it's just really cool having you here with us, and it means heaps to us to have you joining with us. As a church whānau, we're currently journeying through the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew is one of four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that we find in the Bible, which tells of the life and teaching, the ministry and the miracles, and the death and resurrection of Jesus. As books, we can describe them as being historical narratives that have been written with theological purpose. That is, they record their stories or events as they happen in history, but they are written in such a way as to tell the audience something about who this Jesus is, and also to call those who hear them to respond. The word gospel simply means good news. And when we call these books gospels, what we really mean is that each of these books tells something of the good news of Jesus. There aren't four gospels. There's only one gospel, and that is Jesus. I'm not sure if you've ever flown into Wellington on a really rough day. And as you're flying in, all of a sudden, the plane drops, your stomach goes up into your chest, the whole plane goes quiet, with maybe the occasional nervous giggle. But you hold onto your seats in anticipation, it may be fear, of making it safely onto the runway. And then, when the wheels hit the tarmac, there is that sigh of release. And maybe the plane starts to applaud. But have you ever been there? If you haven't, if you fly in and out of Wellington, you're bound to experience that at some stage. But this sense of release kind of captures something about what this term gospel should stir in us. The news that something significant has changed. I'm not just talking about the nice little things, you know, a win on the sports field, the new promotion at work, the news that your offer for a house has been accepted, the fact that she said yes to a date. No, I'm talking about the deep release that comes when you've been caught up and overwhelmed with a legal battle, only to find a resolution that is doable, and you know there is a way out. Or the news that after months and months of fearing for a loved one's life, that drastic surgery and the treatment have been successful, and a weight that you have been carrying, that you've been carrying, is lifted off your shoulders. Things are different now. Something has changed. Good news. Gospel. I mentioned earlier that having children hasn't been easy for us. We've been on a journey with infertility, and you expect things to pan out one way in your life, but sometimes they don't. After a period of 5 years of trying to have kids, when we got pregnant, after a couple of transfers through IVF, we were super excited about telling our parents the news. Kira is from the States, and we'd had a trip booked over, so we decided that we'll tell her parents the news in person. When we arrived, we made an excuse and pulled out a video to show the little beating heart. It took them a brief moment to work out what we were showing them, and they were over the moon. This news brought tears to their eyes. We spent a few weeks with Kira's family before finally saying goodbye to them and starting the journey back to New Zealand. It was then that Kira started bleeding, and we found ourselves, the two of us, alone, waiting at an emergency department in a rundown and dirty hospital with a plane that was scheduled to fly out in less than 12 hours. And after waiting 7 hours, we were finally sent by a doctor and sent for a scan. I wasn't allowed to go. Kira had to go alone, and so I waited. I prayed. I trusted. I stirred up the faith I had. Finally, I was called to come and see. And I had this real sense of hope that everything was going to be okay and that there on the screen would be a beating heart. But what I saw instead was the pain in Kira's eyes. Our little baby was no longer alive. And all of a sudden, life had changed. And so many aspirations and visions and dreams just didn't seem as important as they once were. One of the themes or ideas that we come across as we read through Matthew is that of the kingdom of heaven. I imagine in this room when I use the term like heaven, it stirs up different connotations, particularly if we've had had a loved one who has passed away. And while the Christian message does talk about life above and beyond what we experience in now, in Scripture, heaven is less about a destination where people go, if people end up on the right side of eternity or not, than it is a description of the realm or habitation of God. Heaven is God's realm. While God is always present, heaven is where God inhabits. While all the earth and all that is in it ultimately belongs to and is under the rule of God, heaven is the realm where things operate according to God's rule and reign, where the effects of sin and suffering have no hold, where God's majesty and glory are not hidden behind the veil. Heaven. Likewise, the idea of kingdom probably stirs up different ideas in our minds. We've heard over the last several weeks that Matthew was largely writing to a Jewish audience, likely a Jewish audience in the then known world that were not present in Palestine when these events unfolded. But to them, this word kingdom would have had certain ideas behind it. For instance, in the Hebrew Bible, in the Hebrew scriptures, the first books in our Bible, we're told that God created the heavens and the earth and all that dwells within it. And that humankind, in a special and unique way, within this created world, were to dwell and live and work and be in this world which is described as being good and which has been set in motion by the very word of God. Yet, in spite of this beautiful origin, from early on in the story, humankind is shown as departing from and rejecting God and his ways. To add to this, as you continue reading the story, you come across the calling of Abraham, and then of Isaac, and then of Jacob, who becomes Israel, and then there's Joseph, and Egypt, and slavery, and oppression, and Moses, and the Exodus, the law, the wilderness, Joshua and Caleb, the crossing over to the promised land, Judges, Saul, David, the rise and fall of kings, of prophets, the splitting of a nation, oppression and exile, and return. And through all the ups and downs, the victories and the failures, rooted deep in this story and in the psyche of this people group, in their whakapapa, was the identity that God, who created heaven and earth, had revealed himself to them in a unique and special way. And that this God had called them out from among the nations to a land he had given them, a land where they could follow him in obedience to his ways, in which he would dwell amongst them in a special way at the heart of their society, in the tabernacle, which then became the temple. A society that was based around God and his ways in the land he had given them. Yet here now was this Jewish nation in which connection with land and faith was so intimately tied to their identity. Here it was now conquered by the Roman Empire, the last of a line of pagan nations to have done so. And even though a Jewish king had been put in place by the Romans, things weren't right. There was a disconnect between the reality they experienced and the identity and the dreams and the visions that they so wanted to hold. And instead, there was brokenness, division, compromise, confusion, violence, uprising, and racism, all often in the name of God. Kingdom was a loaded word. Kingdom. Have you ever imagined something and you thought it was going to look like one thing, only to discover that it turned out to be something quite different than what you expected? This past year, we left a fruitful ministry to go and plant a church, to lead a church plant, only to discover that there wasn't a church plant, just an idea that had been decided at a meeting, and a network, and to a community which already was overchurched, and a network of churches that didn't really do anything with each other, yet alone any commitment to help. And with that, we came with what we thought was a calling from a group of churches, but in reality, these churches didn't even know they had called us. We expected this, only to discover that. When you talk about this idea of kingdom of heaven, there was an expectation that it was going to look like this. Yet as we read through the Gospels, we see it looks different. Not like our experience, an experience which led to disappointment and frustration. Instead, the not this, but that, that Matthew describes is even better. It's as more beautiful and wonderful and awe-encompassing than the vision that had been held and longed for. Today's reading can be broken into three narratives. In the first of these, Matthew uses the words of a prophet of old, words that were once used to mean one thing, but now Matthew uses them to illustrate that a greater reality behind these words was now being fulfilled in this person, Jesus. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And straight away, after painting this picture like a sunrise bursting forth over the over what had been a dark horizon, Matthew says these words. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent," or in other words, turn or shift the focus of your life. Because God's kingdom, this thing that has been hoped for, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew is saying something has happened. A release is occurring. Where there had been darkness, now there is light. The kingdom of heaven is breaking into the now. And it is all centered around this person, Jesus. And then in the third of these narratives, this vision unfolds even further. And he, Jesus, went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And what do we see? In this passage, a summary of the work that Jesus was out doing, we see the sick being healed. Those who had been in agony and pain and suffering because of sickness and disease, their lives are changed. And in a moment, they are healed, set free, released. A weight is lifted off their shoulder. Then there are those who are under spiritual oppression and demonic bondage. Yet in meeting Jesus, light shines in the darkness and the chains fall off. Instead of bondage, they are free. And then there are those who don't even have control over their own bodies and their actions and over the things going on in their lives. And in a moment, things are changed. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is God's rule and reign. This is good news. Yet it doesn't stop there. We see people gathered around Jesus, and not just Jewish, but those from Syria and the Decapolis, which were 10 Gentile cities to the east of the lake. We don't just see who we expect to see. What is happening is something that transcends gender, that transcends race, that transcends prejudice, that transcends stereotypes and socioeconomic barriers. And it is all centered around Jesus. Matthew is trying to say, hey, the kingdom of heaven, it's here. And it's coming through this man, Jesus. His kingdom is bringing hope, healing, and wholeness. And it seems to be less about politics and power, weapons and warfare, than it does about people. And in particular, a person, Jesus. A vision of the kingdom of heaven is being unfolded before our eyes. God is at work. God's rule and reign is breaking forth into this world, a world marked and tainted by the brokenness of sin. Not this, but that. I love the verses that follow on from the ones we have had read to us today. And they're called the Beatitudes. And they're part of a dialogue that Jesus shares with his disciples. And in them, he says these words, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And I used to see these words as talking about some ethic that we were to attain to or strive towards. But as I've let the message of the gospel shape my heart, my eyes have lifted off myself and instead on Jesus. And instead, what I see as I read through the Beatitudes is a vision for who God's kingdom work is for. Someone is not blessed because they don't have enough to feed their family. Someone is not blessed because they have suffered loss. Someone is not blessed because they have been looked over or taken advantage or trampled upon. Someone is not blessed because they have suffered injustice or tragedy and have been left in a state longing for justice and for things to be put right. But God's kingdom is for these people. His compassion and grace is for the broken and the downtrodden, the abused, the looked over, and those who have always, and those who have been faithful despite the odds. And in his rule and reign, people can find hope, healing, and wholeness. The kingdom of heaven. As Matthew goes on through this gospel, a couple of things I observe. One, and primarily, is that the kingdom of heaven is coming through this Jesus. And ultimately, as we go through the story, it comes in a way that was unexpected. Second, is that the type of people whom we see Jesus' is the type of people we see Jesus' ministry reaching. And they're often unexpected people, and those outside of the box of who one may have thought they would have been. And third, Jesus includes his followers in this, his kingdom work. And in our three narratives from today, we see part of all these dynamics at work as Matthew gives us a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. With that, I just want to pick back up the second narrative today, where Jesus calls Simon, who becomes Peter, and his brother Andrew, and also James, and his brother John. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but what is it that we see Jesus invite Simon and Andrew into when he calls them to follow him? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Straight away, in these narratives which show the kingdom of heaven being released in this earth, Matthew shows us Jesus calling his disciples and inviting them to join him in this kingdom ministry task. Matthew shows us that the kingdom of heaven is breaking through in the person called Jesus. Matthew shows us the people whose lives are changed because of this kingdom ministry. And Matthew also shows us the disciples being invited to join in, to come, to follow, to make fishers of men. I mentioned earlier that Matthew, as well as the other Gospels, can be described as being historical narratives with theological purpose. That is, they tell us events of what happened, but they are written in a way to tell us something about who this Jesus is, and also to encourage a response from the listeners. And today, I just want to turn to our response. As we have heard and seen God at work in Jesus. And whether you've been on this journey with Jesus for some time, or whether you are here this morning and you still don't know where you sit, I want to encourage you to make space and to be open to behold the light that has come into this world, to behold and lift your eyes to Jesus. Look at the hope and healing and wholeness that those who come around him experience. While I've journeyed alongside many who've gone through hard things, this past year we have had to walk through loss and grief and disappointment and frustration and hurt and rejection and letdowns and being alone and having our aspirations and dreams and visions and purpose being taken away from us. And I'm aware that we are not alone in this journey in this room. And that for some of you, the darkness that you have had to face may seem even darker. But I want to encourage you, as we together look at Jesus, the light shines into the darkness. God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is for people such as you. We have many stories of God doing wonderful works in people's lives, of miracles, of healings, of financial breakthrough, of changed relationships and changed family dynamics, of restoration and recovery. But as we've gone through a season of grit, we have found ourselves being found in the loving arms of God. God's kingdom is for us. God's kingdom is for you. And it's not about God just using things for good. Some of these things shouldn't have been that way. But in God's kingdom, in his presence, we find satisfaction and hope and wholeness and healing in him. Because in him, we know all things will be made right. Kira and I have been here at Hutt City Baptist for just over a month. We've loved being connected and have loved being able to start build friendships and also see what's going on. One thing I observe about this church is that we are a growing church. And if we're wanting to be a church that holds onto the mandate an invitation that Jesus gave his disciples, we are going to need to go through growing pains to increase our capacity so that there is space for others to come and behold Jesus. And as we in today's reading came across peoples whose lives are changed as they encountered Jesus, I just really want to encourage the mandate that we as a church have to be outward reaching into the world around us. And it may not be to the people you think it is to be. You'll hear me say this time and time again, but I believe that the most effective ministry of the church is when ordinary people take the step of faith to bring Jesus into their conversations with people that God has put on the path of your lives. Often we think mission is going off and doing this or that, but I reckon quite often the mission field are those natural contacts that God has already around your life, amongst your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, your schoolmates, or even in your own family. Without Jesus, we have nothing. In eternity, without Jesus, everyone is lost. But in Jesus, we can find hope, healing, and wholeness. God uses ordinary people so that they too can find hope, healing, and wholeness. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your kingdom work that is breaking into this world. Lord, thank you that in you there is hope, healing, and wholeness. Lord, for those here who are going through dark spaces in their lives, Lord, we just want to stop and open our hearts to reorientate our vision, to let your light shine in the darkness. Lord, we also just lift those contacts that you have put around our lives, in our homes, amongst our friends, at our schools, at our work, on our streets, who are broken, who are downtrodden, who are looked over, or maybe even on the outside doing really well. Lord, we just lift these people up to you. Give us the courage to bring you into the conversation. In your name. Amen.
Let's stand for the benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. I pray that the Holy Spirit may guide you and challenge you this week as you go out. May the word that you've heard sit on your hearts. And may God's light shine in those dark corners where maybe you are struggling, where maybe you are worried, overwhelmed. May his light shine in you and through you. And may you be challenged to share that light with those around you. May the Lord bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.